The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yeah, Tara Logan Buckley is back with me, the senior clinical psychologist. People will remember, Tara, a few weeks ago you were in and we were talking about how to deal with your child being bullied in school. And we said we would come back and talk about this from the other point of view. You get the phone call from the school about bullying, but it is your child who is the bully, the alleged bully. I assume that the natural reaction, the human reaction, is absolute denial, first of all. That couldn't be the case.
Absolutely. I think there is the whole kind of stages of the denial, and then comes the disbelief. And typically with that comes a lot of anger with okay. it for parents. Yeah,
anger directed at the child, at the school, at the situation.
Look, I'm going to be very honest. Typically, it's anger directed at the child. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's kind of hard to take a step back and go, OK, well, you know, this is my child. Obviously, there's lots of things. There's lots of underlying issues that can, for example, cause bullying or make a child be the bully. So sometimes it's first very, very much the place that, OK, my child couldn't do that, or else it's the child, or it has to be someone else. It's the other kids are teasing. They wouldn't react that way, or something must have happened in the school. So there's a lot of that kind of first kind of reaction outwards, then to actually sit down and kind of be calm and think about the situation.
Now, maybe I was being unfair when I said that I assume that the initial reaction is absolute denial. Maybe some parents kind of have that awareness. They think, this isn't completely out of the blue.
I think so. I think if we look at maybe parents that are going through maybe a certain life transition. So, for example, if we've parents in a household where maybe they're choosing to separate, there's been a lot of maybe arguments that the parents have had themselves, or maybe there's stuff going on. Maybe there has someone close to the family has been lost in a certain type of bereavement. So some people might go, actually, OK, maybe I'm not there to support my child as enough. Maybe they're seeing things that are going on that I maybe thought they didn't see, because children are very hypervigilant. They're very, very aware. We don't give them enough credit for that. So they're really, really attuned to actually what's going on in homes and around people emotionally.
What are, before then we talk about kind of dealing with it and the conversations you have with the child, what are some of the signs that you might notice, like in terms of how your child is behaving or who they're hanging around with or the type of things they might be saying?
That's it. The very first thing I look at, like, is there a change, obviously, in the child themselves and their presentation? So very much like the other way around, has there been a change in what the child is eating? Is there a change in sleeping? Is there a change in toileting? Is there a change just even how they are? Are they a little bit more isolated? Are they withdrawn? Have they completely and utterly changed their peer group as well? That's something that we see. Or very much as well, they can become quite aggressive at home, you know, so it might be a little bit more talking back. It might be a little bit more kind of defiant behaviour as well at home. So it's all about those. What kind of subtle differences have I noticed in my child? So they are some of the things that we would see.
Okay, so let's imagine the phone call has come through and it is your child who is accused of bullying. What's the first conversation that you have with your child? You walk in, they're sitting there watching the telly or doing their homework or playing the PlayStation. What do you do?
The very first thing is you tell yourself you have to remain calm. That's the very, very first thing. You have to put judgment aside. You have to remain calm. And the very first thing you do is you sit down with your child and you have a very serious conversation. Mm. So you need to be supportive in that. You don't go in with an idea to punish the child from that conversation. You go in with an idea to actually actively listen and try to understand the child, because Rosalind Wiseman said that behind every story of bullying, there is actually a story of pain. So it's really heartbreaking, actually, when we see what is the reason why children bully. So it's going in with that.
Hurt people.
Yes, absolutely. And there's so many reasons, from psychological, societal, environmental factors of why kids actually go on to bully other kids. So the very first thing is you need to stay calm, not have judgment, and have that real conversation. What you do is you ask open-ended questions. OK, can you tell me, like, how are your emotions for you? What's going on? Has anything changed? Just being really open, really, really honest. And also maybe trying to get the child to see, actually, do you understand the consequence of this? So you can imagine, like, saying, by the way, if this was done to you, how would you feel? A lot of younger kids, they're just modelling behaviour that they've seen, whether that's behaviour they've seen by their peers.
Yeah, they're not sitting there thinking, I'm a bully.
Yes,
and I hope mum or dad don't find out.
Exactly. I'll give you a good one. We had a child a few years ago came, and there was a lot of kind of behavioural problems. Cut a long story short, what happened was the child was actually playing Grand Theft Auto, and he was only 7 or 8 years. That's obviously one that's for over 18s.
Yes, it is.
And he was getting up at 6 a.m. without mom or dad knowing on the computer playing this game, then going to school and modelling the same thing.
I shouldn't laugh.
But it's something as simple as that.
Yeah.
And obviously came before me as a psychologist, but like, we don't know what to do, we don't know what's going on. I literally was just sitting down with him and asked him, what do you like to play? He's like, Grand Theft Auto. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, one second, he shouldn't be playing this. So what we did was we removed the media that was causing this, because he was watching it thinking that this was okay. And obviously, if we look at it, that behaviour is rewarded. And a lot of bullying behaviour in media is rewarded, or actually like in TV. So I always say actually TV and video games is a good one, or media, and say, oh, what do you think about that child being bullied? How do you think that would make you feel? Or do you think that's okay? So it's really kind of like trying to model, and the same at home, modeling compassion, kindness, that bullying isn't okay, and that we speak in a respectful way. Mm. So it can be something as simple as a child playing a video game that actually then they go and do this behaviour.
And I assume you want to avoid kind of falling down the trap again in the conversations with the child of allowing them to convince you that it is the other kid's fault, or they're the ones being picked on, because you know that kids will try and explain their way out of trouble all the time. Absolutely. It's not me, it's Johnny.
And if you think about it, that's actually a protective mechanism that they do for the bullying. They almost like depersonalize the bullying, or there's kind of like that, oh well, they deserved it, that's why, because for themselves they don't want to feel that guilt or that shame that comes with it. So they can do that with parents as well. So it's teaching your kids how to take accountability. So it's trying, how do we make amends, trying to get the kid to apologise if the situation is appropriate to apologise in, and if it has to be a sincere apology, but also teaching your kid what accountability is.
Yeah.
So that might be, okay, well, if you do something wrong, then, well, you're going to have a punishment that's going to be consistent, and or else you're going to have to do extra responsibilities that you wouldn't have to do. So it is about teaching kids accountability.
And then, like, after the fact, once kind of the initial problem has been dealt with to a degree, how do you manage the child then going forward, so that you keep that focus on, you as you said, on kind of compassion and empathy?
So lots of different things. First of all is you definitely encourage positive behaviour. And when positive behaviour happens, so for example, if it's act of kindness, or it's using appropriate language and compassionate language, that you praise and that you reward that. So the child's actually like, okay, I don't need to be bullied to get like a reward, because it's even negative rewards can be positive for kids if they're getting none. So for this, it's like, okay, let's encourage and let's reward positive. It's also keeping an eye maybe on the friend circle that they have, promoting, I suppose, positive friendships as well. It's also being keep linked with the school. What can happen is a lot of schools have really, really good programs and interventions in, but when obviously the initial thing kind of dies down, parents will go, oh, you know, my child doesn't need to maybe see the career counsellor, or doesn't need to do this or that.
Yeah.
So it's keeping on top of actually the interventions that are in place, or additional supports that are there as well. And just all those real open and honest conversations with your child. A big one is teaching emotional regulation skills. I would always say that should be something that we've done from children at a very young age, and that should be kept going the entire way. And also teaching them conflict resolution, a massive thing as well that we need to consistently be doing, because conflict resolution for a 5-year-old is going to be very different from what it is for a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old, and the same with emotional regulation skills.
All right. Well, listen, like the last time you were in, I'm booking you back in now to come back in and talk about emotional regulation skills and when you start doing them maybe at home, and what are the type of things you start doing, and what are the issues they have. But before I go, one final question, because you mentioned the friends in school. I mean, how do you deal with that if they're in a kind of problematic little group in school? I mean, you've no control of them once they go in through that school gate.
You don't. And what it would be maybe to limit that in a certain sense. You know, it might be outside of school. It might be getting them involved. Like, this is where sports and extra activities is really important. It's trying to get them to see that there's other friend groups that have more of a positive influence, and trying to move towards that. And if we're doing all the other things we just spoke about as well, and encouraging positive behaviour and reinforcement, what tends to happen is kids do tend to then move to the other friend groups that are more positive.
Okay. Well, listen, Tara, thanks a million for coming into us. Tara Logan Buckley, Senior Clinical Psychologist.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.